Our next speaker is Shakir Balak. I'm just going to give a little bit of a background to Shakir. Shakir was born in Pakistan and came to Canada in 1987. He's 89. He's a doctor. And he has a 14-year-old daughter, and he's also a Canadian citizen. And he's been working over the last few years to improve his skills to get accreditation to work as a radiologist in Canada. Shakir was in New York City doing just that, trying to get accreditation after September 11th. And on September 22nd, he was picked up while he was trying to... 20th. Okay, sort of off with some of these dates. After September 11th, he was picked up while trying to improve his accreditation, trying to get a license to drive a taxi in New York. And since then, he was detained until just a few weeks ago for 7 months. This was part of a pickup of literally thousands of men of Arab and Muslim descent, Pakistani men, after September 11th. People who, I'll just quote what his lawyer had to say. I'll cite what Amnesty International has to say about what's happened to these people, people like Shakir. Amnesty International has cited annual reports of prolonged solitary confinement, heavy shackling, abrupt prison transfers, lack of adequate exercise, and closed immigration hearings. For those 7 months. For a huge part of those 7 months, Shakir wasn't allowed to talk to anyone, a lawyer, anyone else. The Canadian consulate and Canadian diplomatic officials were really dragging their feet getting involved in this, and their role in this was very shameless, as you'll hear a bit later. According to Shakir's lawyer, a guy by the name of Mr. Martin Stoller in the U.S., he would have been like the millions of out-of-status illegal immigrants in this country, because officially Shakir... The only thing he's being charged with is illegally entering the United States. He would have been like the millions of others of out-of-status illegal immigrants in this country. But now that he fits a certain ethnic and racial profile, sweep him up and presume that he's guilty of being involved with terrorism until we prove otherwise. It is the worst kind of this stuff since we contain Japanese and Japanese Americans and put them in camps only because of their ethnicity. He also said... He was treated like an animal when he was in what they call a special housing unit, the hole, and then left to go like a non-person, as if we don't care what we did to you, goodbye, now that we're done with you, we've had our fun. And that refers to the way that Shakir was released. Not announced to anybody, put on a plane, and left in Pearson Airport without his ID. He still doesn't have any of his ID, without contacting any family or anything. This has been happening to literally thousands of people. This just happens to be one case in which it's happened to a Canadian citizen. And this is the first time that Shakir is speaking out publicly in a forum like this about his case. So I'd just like to welcome Shakir and thank him for coming here.
As you know, my name is Shakir Balot, and I'll tell you only about my case, that what happened to me there. I left for United States in April, and I went there. I rented an apartment, and I had a court date there for a traffic accident. So I went there, and September 20th, I went to renew my cab license. I wanted to work on weekends, and at the same time I wanted to study for my registration exam. I was a student in Colombia for 1 year for ultrasound technologist program. So when I was in the classroom, two people, my teacher told me there are a few people want to talk to you. And I went in his office, and there were two guys. They said, we are from police department, NYPD, and you have to come with us. And they took me at my house. There were already 10, 12 people from different FBI and INS. They were already there searching my room, my house, I mean, apartment. So So they questioned me there for 3-4 hours. They were questioning. In the beginning, they were pretty harsh, saying me that why you have a photograph of Osama bin Laden. For a minute, I said I don't have it. But then they showed me a picture of a head of a book, and I said, this is a head of a book. I was reading. This is not a picture. And then they were saying that why you are involved in politics, why you are reading so much books about politics. And I had few books about Pakistani politics, one about Marxism and one about U.S. politics, and one there was a book which had a photograph of Osama bin Laden. So I said, I'm a medical graduate, So. Then they took me to, I told them that I'm a Canadian citizen, this is my name, and then they took me to INS office, and they questioned me there for overnight, and then they transferred me to MDC. And then those people were pretty rough when we went to MDC, they're fully shackled, and when I got there, they took me inside, and four or five people, they were hitting and cursing, and and finally, they took me to ninth floor, special housing unit, and telling me that you will be here for 30 years, and by the time you go to Pakistan, we won't send you to Canada. I said, I live in Canada. They said, we won't send you to Canada. We will revoke your citizenship, and by the time you get to Pakistan, your country will be a parking lot. And then they kept me there for 5 months, and it was a 5x7 cell with washroom in it and the toilet in it, and I didn't see anybody for about 3 months. After 3 months, and in that 3 months, they were pretty rough, showing fingers to me and cursing me, and after 3 months, when I met Max Scott from, I think he's a lawyer working with OCAP. So he finally came to me and he said that my family is fine. They didn't give me any lawyer access or family access. When I saw Max Scott, then he told me that he's going to represent me. So after, I guess, 2 weeks, they came again and they told me that they're filing a habeas corpus because immigration doesn't say it. Didn't say anything about it. So I think after 100, January 4th, after 100 days, they took me to federal court. And when I got in federal court, I told them that I need a representation. They said, we haven't found your lawyer. So one lawyer from CCR came there, Bill Goodman and Joe Kofferman. And they said, we filed a habeas corpus. In retaliation, they are charging you now with illegal entry in the United States. So they charged me with that crime. But it wasn't only immigration, because I was in totally confinement, 24 hours locked up with lights on and 2 cameras in the room and fully shackled when I'm moving somewhere. And twice a week, they used to search the room. I'm fully shackled. And when they charged me, then my lawyer told me that it will take about 2-3 months for the whether you plead guilty or if you want to fight the case again, you have to wait for at least 6 months to go to the jury. And I asked him, what do you advise? He said that you have a judge which is the most prejudiced judge in the federal court. His name was Kevin Duffy, and I can, I could feel that this judge is not fair. And he told me that he's the judge who tried, I saw the Amnesty International report, who tried Ramzi Yusuf. And then after, and at the same time, they were saying that this is not, and the guards were telling me that this is not an immigration jail. You are here for something else. And whenever you get released from Washington, you can get released. Otherwise, there are people here for 20 years from Cuba. They haven't seen judge yet. So finally, after 5 months, they released me to population. And then my lawyer advised me to plead guilty for illegal entry in the United States to go home. And I plead guilty. And even I plead guilty, the judge still, the PSI, my PSI report recommended that I should be given time served. And the prosecutor said they don't have any objection because it's a crime of with the guideline of 0 to 6 months, and I had no pre-arrest record. So my lawyer told him that it's just a case of $500 fine. And PSI report recommended that time served, but still the judge was saying that there are few questions, too many questions in my mind that I haven't got the answer yet. Why you came in the United States to practice? Why don't you practice in Canada? And this and that, and three, four times he asked the prosecutor, are you sure you don't have any objection? He said, no, I don't have any objection. And then finally he said that prosecutor doesn't have any objection. PSI report says that, what else I can do? Okay, time, sir. And then they transferred me to Passaic County Jail. And there the conditions were, at least for me, it was, when I was transferred to, one thing I forgot, that from a special housing unit, when I transferred to general population, I was relieved, my lawyer was relieved, the consulate was relieved that, like, I've been released, I'm at home. And it was the same feeling I had, because there were people there sentenced for 35 years, 45 years, up to 103 years. But still, it was fine because we had a TV and we had a small exercise room, a kitchen. And after that, when I pleaded guilty, they took me to Passaic County Jail. That was a dirty jail, but at least it's a county jail. And we were 130 immigration prisoners there, and there was two washrooms there for them. And I was there with one pant and one t-shirt for about 15 days. And then when CBC reporter came to make a movie, finally at 15th of April, and Washington Post reporter got access to me at 3:30 in the morning, they woke me up and they took me to INS office, and from there they took me to Newark Airport and put me in the plane. And I came to Toronto without any. I asked them, where are my IDs? They said, contact your consulate. And I came with jail clothes without any ID, and still looking for my IDs.